connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Bible says, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Those are the words of Jesus as he was speaking to his disciples. Then the Lord Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Bible records the fact that we can depend on the Scripture. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that should cause us to be in focus of what is taking place. As we look at what's happening locally, nationwide, statewide, internationally, and globally, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? Does God's Word speak to any of these issues? Let me remind you, the Word of God talks about past, present, and future. God's already given us what has happened in the past. He's telling us what is happening in the present and what will take place in the future in the eschatological prophetic text in the Word of God. So as we face the issues, may I remind you that we need to face the issues through the prism of the Scripture. What does the Word of God say? In fact, in Psalms 117, and verse 2, the Scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Forever. That's a pretty good length of time. So may I say, as we face the issues, let's look at it from the standpoint of it being the truth book as we look at the Scripture. It was secularist George Orwell made the statement, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that to be factual today. You talk about a political issue. You talk about a terrorist issue, just as we're talking about in the recent few days with the terrorist in Boulder, Colorado, trying to incinerate some Jewish people because of anti-Semitic hatred, one that's been brought into America by the Biden administration. Ladies and gentlemen, you call the truth truth, and you'll have the media, the Marxist media, that will disagree with you. You'll have some like Omar and AOC and others in the U.S. House of Representatives that will disagree with you. In fact, that's some of the things we'll talk about today as we talk about the issue. America's under siege. America is under siege from the enemies within. The enemies within. We need to recognize that when we stand for truth, truth matters regardless of the culture, regardless of the denomination, regardless of the political affiliation. Truth matters. And yet we find those that disagree, remonstrate against, and challenge anything that's called truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that the decline of America is linked to the death of truth. In fact, DeMint says this in part, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are at the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based theology. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at the death of truth in our nation. It is not just something, it's not something that's just dying. It's dead when we look at it, when we analyze it, when we scrutinize it. I'm looking at a headline article that says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Goes on to say that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. That's truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. When's the last time you stood for truth? When's the last time you had even a family gathering and you talked about truth? When's the last time you stood for the truth of the Word of God, regardless of what society says, regardless of what the political expedience may say? You stand for truth. That's my challenge, that we would stand for truth even in the face of death. Perhaps you say we've not reached that point yet. We have, to a degree, and it's on the fast track. I believe it's on the, what some call the banana peel, as we slip and slide into the abyss of no absolute truth. I challenge us each and every day to stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And they have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup. The knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we understand what is happening today, I want us to recognize it from a little different perspective than maybe normally thought of. I believe America's under siege. I believe it's based on inside activity. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, without any equivocation, it's in a direct result, direct response to the Biden administration. The Biden administration with the open borders. The open borders. Some say about 30 million people have come in. Some say as low as 10 million people have entered. I say approximately 20, as one writer said, 22 million illegals have come in. Illegal invaders. And ladies and gentlemen, the Joe Biden administration, the cognitively absent president, did not protect our nation. Biden, with his cognitive disability, someone else was in charge. Listen, I believe the Mayorkas, the head of the DHS, is 100% responsible for what we see taking place today with the terrorist attacks. I believe the DOJ, the Merrick Garland character, is responsible, 100% responsible for what we see happening today. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, Christopher Wray, the FBI, his FBI at that time, is responsible for the insiders, the Islamic jihadists, and what is taking place today. I believe further, ladies and gentlemen, that the Supreme Court judges are responsible. John Roberts, that could have stopped the interventionalist courts that's tied President Trump's hands as he tries to protect America. I believe Amy Comey Barrett is partially responsible for what we see happening. I believe Khadija, however you pronounce her name, Jackson, the Supreme Court justice that could not identify a woman, and several others that's on the Supreme Court, are responsible today for where we stand in America with the enemies within and a nation being under siege without any question. Dozens of circuit court judges across America are responsible today, ladies and gentlemen. I believe blood is on their hands. And by the way, we'll look at that shortly in Ezekiel chapter 33. And it talks about the watchman. And if the watchman does not cry out and warn, then when danger comes, the enemy attacks, death occurs, then the blood is on your hands. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. May I say to you, I believe that we're recognizing, even today, more and more being uncovered of the cover-up of Biden's disability, Biden's inability, and Biden's cognitive decline while in office. I can recall back in the 2020 election where he used COVID as the excuse to hide out in his basement, where the Marxist media, all of the talking heads, covered for him that he couldn't come out, he couldn't go to rallies, he could not speak publicly because of the fear of COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. I touched on a portion of it in a previous broadcast. Jake Tapper claims that cover-up of Biden decline may have been worse than Watergate. He goes on to say, Jake Tapper has said, as alleged cover-up, a former president, Joe Biden's declining mental faculties in his final year in power may be worse than Watergate. Tapper made the claim during the interview on Piers Morgan Uncensored on Monday about his new book, Original Sin, co-authored by Axios journalist Alex Thompson. This article says how powerful the presidency is and how presidents get surrounded by people who have vested interest in keeping that president propped up regardless of the danger to America. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact that we have enemies within, the fact that America is under siege today, is in direct proportion to the Biden administration and the cover-up in relationship to his inability to have a cognitive discussion without looking at prompter cards or a teleprompter or being told where to go, what to say, and how to respond. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the head of the DHS, the FBI, DOJ, and all of the major departments under the Biden administration, each and every one of the administrators in his orbit, should be held responsible for the enemies within and the siege against America today. I believe on many occasions America could have extricated itself in the past several years out of the Biden administration. Had there been enough information made available to the public so that something could have been said or done to prevent it. But as I said a moment ago, some 20 million plus invaders poured into America, including rapists, robbers, murderers, child molesters, anti-Israel terrorists. Today, I believe we're reaping the harvest. We're reaping the fruits of the Biden administration's absentee leadership. We're now discovering that the auto pen signed tens of thousands of documents that Biden doesn't even know that he signed. He does not know who was pardoned. Biden did not know that he had signed specific documents when Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, talked with him about it. And he looked at Mike Johnson and said, I didn't do that. And they were talking about specific executive orders that he had signed. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, whoever held that auto pen, we'll talk about that in a moment, whoever gave the authority to press the button and execute Joe Biden's signature ought to be held responsible for the enemies within and America being under siege today. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we see what is happening when thousands of people were pardoned, that Biden did not sign and execute the documents. I believe we can understand what is taking place today and the demise of America's safety and protection. I believe what we're seeing today, where the courts are preventing President Trump from deporting hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of invaders that are within. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the judges are responsible for what is taking place at this very moment. of this demise of America and America being under siege. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
I'm trying to figure out, okay, the young man that killed the couple in New York, I think it was New York, and this man that threw Molotov cocktails in Colorado, there's somebody giving them life sentences. And we the people have to pay for them their whole life. God said, if you take a life, your life should be taken. I don't know why these judges are doing what they're doing or trying to do, but it's just ridiculous. What's your opinion on it?
Well, Kenneth, you're exactly right. I believe we need to recognize what is taking place. It's orchestrated. I believe we see what is happening today that could have been changed, redirected, but it's because that was not done, because we had those that were around Biden that protected him, did not want it to be known that he was not capable, did not want it to be known that he was had no cognitive ability. As a result of that, we see, just as you said, the young couple walking out of the door of the Jewish Museum that was in D.C. They were gunned down, assassinated right on the sidewalk. Then you had Shapiro, the governor's mansion that he was living in. Shapiro, I believe, what is he, the governor of New Jersey. And his home was firebombed because he's Jewish. Then we see what happened out in Boulder, Colorado with the firebombing using Molotov cocktails to kill people. He's that's Shapiro, that's the governor of Pennsylvania. And each of these, you see, the attack is on Jewish people, the Jewish culture, and the Jewish organizations. And it's simply because we have Jew hate in America, we have anti-Semitism in America, and we're finding that very few, if any, of the people are speaking up. Those that are elected, those that are judges, could have stopped it, could have summarily stopped it if there had been any information that they could have allowed to take place under the Trump administration to export, deport, remove, whatever term you want to use, those that are now bringing about the havoc in our nation. Kenneth, it deserves our insight, deserves our prayer and consideration, and asking God to intervene. Well, I believe, listen, this might sound very harsh, this might sound very dubious, but I believe we are on the very verge of seeing an implosion of American culture as we've known it for almost 250 years. I believe we're witnessing the potentiality of the absolute destruction of our constitutional republic as a result of the Biden administration and the residuum of what is taking place today as a result of his failure to protect our borders and protect our nation. So it deserves our prayer.
Can I ask you a question?
Go right ahead, yes.
Can I ask you a question? Okay, you say Biden, but I'm going to tell you. It was, I don't want to call his name out too hard, but it was Obama that was controlling this. And like you say, the pen and the young lady, they should be prosecuted and put in prison by big time, because Biden was in his basement all the time.
Yes, there's no question about it. In fact, you go to Genesis, the 9th chapter, and you see the first introduction of civil government by God. And in that 9th chapter of Genesis, it clearly says God's instructions, God's directive, God's command is that if you take a life, your life is to be given. It is a life for a life. Some of them, for example, out in Boulder, Colorado, the chief police, not even want to call it a terrorist attack, said, we don't know yet. And then you got the media.
How do you don't know?
It takes an idiot not to
know.
It takes a dummy not to
know. Thank you.
But at the same time, it shows how there's a playing down, a refusal to commit to what is taking place and verbally say that, that is part and parcel. And those that are in that position, the media and those that sit in the House and the Senate that refuse to speak out against this Jew hate, they're responsible for the enemies within. They're responsible for America being under siege today. We're going to talk about that for the balance of the broadcast. But Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your insight, for your conversation, and thank you for your stand. Keep looking up, and we need to keep praying, asking God to intervene and to give us wisdom and strength as Americans and as a nation. God bless you, and thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the fact that I believe that you have those that are responsible, not just Biden himself, but Mayorkas, the head of the DHS, the DOJ, Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, the FBI, Supreme Court justices, including Chief Justice John Roberts, and dozens of the circuit court judges. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding today, we're finding major, major, major difficulty as a result of judges and politicians that are making wrong decisions and wrong choices, silence, and the refusal to address the real issues. How many more Islamic terrorists will we see unless our biased judges and bought politicians stand up and speak up and do something? We've got a brief clip. It is from Newt Gingrich when he was Speaker of the House back years ago, and it's his position. He is a powerful historian, and I want us to listen just for a moment for a clip from one of Newt Gingrich's speeches about judges and the danger in America of the judges.
Read the Declaration of Independence. A very large number of its specific charges against Great Britain involve dictatorial judges. Yes. The fact is the Founding Fathers deeply distrusted judges, yes, and thought that the lawyer class was dangerous and that you could not give them unbridled power or they would undermine and destroy free society. Correct. Now, this is not some marginal position. Thomas Jefferson, asked about judicial supremacy, said, that is an absurdity. That would be an oligarchy. And it's doubly dangerous because, you see, if judges think that they are unchallengeable, they are inevitably corrupted. Corrupted in a moral sense. I don't mean taking money, but I mean in a sense of arrogance, in a sense of imposing on the rest of us. Lord Acton warned in the 19th century that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Notice he dropped the word tens. And the courts in the last 53 years have proven that Lord Acton's right. Because with each passing decade, the judges have become more hostile to the American tradition. They now openly talk about using foreign sources of information because, after all, the American Constitution is so old and so antiquated. A justice who believes that shouldn't be serving on the American bench. One of the major impediments and threats to democracy today is the very behavior of the law schools, which teach a usurpation of power in a way that is utterly unsustainable. Founding Fathers designed our Constitution based on Montesquieu's concept of the balance of power. We're supposed to have three co-equal branches. There can be no supremacy if there are three co-equal branches, by definition. Otherwise, you'd have a superior branch and two inferior branches. But it's worse than that. If you read Hamilton in the Federalist Papers, he says the courts couldn't possibly take on the legislative and executive branch because they would inevitably lose. Jefferson is the most clear example of taking on the judiciary. In the Judicial Reform Act of 1802, the Jeffersonians eliminated 18 out of 35 federal judges. Didn't impeach them, just abolished their offices, told them to go home. Jackson, in tackling the Bank of the United States, which he said was a overly centralized form of power, think of it as the earlier Bernanke, was told, well, the Supreme Court has said that it's constitutional. He said, fine, that's their opinion. He said, I have a different opinion. I'm the president, they're a court. They get their opinion in court. I get my opinion in the White House. Lincoln spends a large section of his first inaugural address explaining why the Dred Scott decision may be the law of the case, but cannot be the law of the land, and Lincoln refuses to enforce the Dred Scott decision while he's president, period. So people who come in and say, oh, as Nancy Pelosi once said, if the court speaks, it's as though God has spoken. Now, to be fair, having somebody from her branch of the party recognize God is an important step in the right direction. In the question of national security, in the last few years, the courts, I think, have become virtually out of touch with reality. The idea that the courts are now going to take on responsibility for defending the United States is a clear and fundamental violation of the Constitution and a fundamental violation of the executive branch's power, and the Congress should pass a law repudiating every interference of the courts in national security issues and returning them to the Congress and the President where they rightly belong. In 1942, a group of German saboteurs were landed in Florida and Long Island. They were all picked up within 2 weeks. Roosevelt brought in his attorney general and said, they will be tried in a military court. They will be executed. It should happen within 3 weeks. And tell the Supreme Court, if they issue a writ of habeas corpus, I will not honor it, and therefore they should not issue it. I am the commander-in-chief in wartime. They aren't. Congress has the power to limit the appeals, as I mentioned earlier. Congress can cut budgets. Congress can say, all right, in the future, the Ninth Circuit can meet, but it will have no clerks. By the way, we aren't going to pay the electric bill for 2 years. And since you seem to be rendering justice in the dark, you don't seem to need your law library either. This is, by the way, I am paraphrasing Hamilton in the Federalist Papers, in which he is defending, he says flatly, the judiciary is the weakest of the three branches. I mean, this modern model is just totally opposite the American tradition.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that you heard what I would call just a little nutshell of what I've been talking about for quite some time in relationship to the judges trying to usurp the authority over the executive branch and trying to undermine and tear down and destroy. I believe every judge that's issued an executive issued an order that canceled President Trump's executive orders are Trump's attempt to deport, to remove the enemy from within, where we're under siege as a nation. I believe that every one of those judges need to be removed from office. I believe that we need to have the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate that's willing to pass legislation that will remove, summarily remove, every judge that's out of order, out of step with their responsibility and the powers that they do not have, that they are usurping the authority and we're supposed to suffer as a nation. When I look at an article that says, man throws firebomb at pro-Israel demonstrators in Colorado, 8 injured. By the way, these pro-Israel people that were on the sidewalk, they were not demonstrating. They were not in any fashion trying to cause a problem. They're just simply that they had gone out each and every week on a certain day each week to simply stand on the sidewalk in remembrance of the hostages and for prayer that the hostages being held in the Hamas prison tunnels be released. But it says, man throws firebomb at pro-Israel demonstrators in Colorado. The FBI named the suspect in the violent attack in Boulder, Colorado, as 45-year-old Mohammed Soliman, S-O-L-I-M-A-N, who allegedly, it wasn't allegedly, who used flamethrower as an incendiary device to target pro-Israel protesters in downtown Boulder Sunday, injuring 8 people. And it goes on to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, what took place, the horrible scene. In fact, the media that picked it up on the news on television, they have, I think, wisely kept the cameras off the ones that's on the ground burning as a result of the Molotov cocktails being tossed into the center of the people. This article reads, the Biden administration granted the alien a visa, and then, when illegally overstayed, they gave him a work permit. Stephen Miller, White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy and Homeland Security Advisor, said in a post on social media platform, no more hostile migration. Keep them out and send them back is the mantra by Stephen Miller. And he's exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL,